Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. Today is April 11th, and we're broadcasting this message so that you can see it live, plus you can watch it later on in the week and later on in the months and the years to come. And we do this especially for you so that you can know that God is real and that God exists. Because when you know that, it really makes a difference in every aspect of your life. And tonight I want to talk specifically about that. I want to go through some passages of Scripture that talk about how very real God is, and how very close He is to each one of us, and also what a profound difference that will make in our lives. So if you need to know that God is real this week, then I encourage you to continue and stay with me during this broadcast. I've got some message notes on the screen, and if you'll look at the place where you came to this page, you'll see a place called Message Notes, and you can read along with me a few of the passages that I've chosen of Scripture, as well as follow an outline as I go through this half hour. So if you would take a look at those message notes right now and just look at the two scriptures that I've put on the screen so that you can read those and just meditate on the Lord. I'm going to play a song on the piano, and I just want you just to enter into God's presence and just say, God, here I am today. I do believe that you exist, and I want to know that even better and even deeper, and I want to carry that knowledge with me throughout the day. So if you would read those two verses and just let God speak to you, and then join me again in a few minutes after I finish playing, and we'll walk through the outline, talking about God and how very real He is. Let me pray with you. Lord, thank you for bringing us here tonight. We do believe that you're real and you exist. God, help me to convey that to people who may have questions about that or doubts about that, or throughout the day they don't fully believe that, Lord, for I know it will make a difference in their life. I pray the words on your pages of the Bible, Lord, would just leap off to them as they watch this, Lord, and as they hear the spoken word coming straight from you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I heard this week from a friend who has been praying for an extra $923. He was taking a trip and taking a team of people over to another country on a missions trip, and he needed $923. And that day that he was praying for that, he received a check in the mail for $941.81, just a few dollars over what he was needing. And he had just the day before been with a man who had quite a bit of money, in fact, The man had wired almost $150,000 over to a mission agency over in Europe. And yet, my friend didn't feel compelled to ask this particular man for the money. He came to God with his request, and he said, God, I need $923. And God, that very next day, provided the $941 that came in that check from a couple who said they actually didn't know how they could even send a check like this because it was very unusual for them to do it. But God had blessed them in a certain way, so they were able to do that, and they felt very prompted to give that specific amount. So God does these miraculous things. We call them Holy Ghost stories because the Holy Ghost is at such work in our lives, and we see Him move so powerfully that we refer to these as just Holy Ghost stories, and I've had so many of them happen in my life, similar things with money like that or with God speaking to me like that, that I am very convinced that He is so real, and I could reach out and touch Him if He had a physical body, but He doesn't. He is spirit and He is truth, and God wants us to worship Him in spirit and truth. And so He is very much a real entity. He's very real, He's very alive, and we are created in His image. In fact, the Bible says that He's so close that He's right there next to each one of us. Take a look with me in Acts 17:27. If you have a Bible, you can open with me to it. If not, I will just read from mine, and I pray God will speak to you as I read these words on the page. But this is in Acts, and this is the Apostle Paul talking, and he says, God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. God scattered men all over the earth, is what this passage talks about, and created separate nations, separate tribes, separate language groups of people. And He did this so that men might reach out for Him and seek Him and find Him, even though He's not far from each one of us. God is very close. He's extremely close. In fact, our very breath and our very life comes from God. So He is that close as our breath. And I just pray that that would be such a reality to you. I want to walk you through a few scriptures that talks about the presence of God being with us. Here's a passage from Psalm 139 that says, O Lord, You've searched me and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. Where can I go from Your Spirit, it says in verse 7. Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to the heavens, You're there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. See, God is so pervasive. He is not limited to the confined body form that we are, that He can be everywhere at once. He is truly omnipotent. He is all over. He can be close to you and close to me, and He can speak to us each personally. And how He does it, I have no idea, but I have experienced it so much. It's like the wind, and Jesus says this very same analogy, that the Holy Spirit is like the wind, that we don't see when it comes and goes, but we see its effects. We see that the wind has power and that it's able to go throughout the earth. The same way with the Holy Spirit. He is able to go throughout the earth and to bring a word from God to us, to speak to us, to provide food for us and shelter, clothing, protection, all kinds of things that God will do for us when we realize and when we believe that He is real. Another passage in Jeremiah 23 talks about the reality of God and how hard it is to get away from God. Jeremiah 23:23 and 24 says, Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Now, this is good news or bad news, depending on what you happen to be doing at the moment. God can see you anywhere you are. God is with you any place you go. There is no place you can go to hide from God. There's a passage that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the point is that God will never leave you alone. Some people like that because God will never leave them alone. Some people don't like that because God will never leave them alone. And I want you to know that God will never leave you alone. He will always be with you. He will always be there to talk to you, to comfort you, to console you, to walk you through the things that you're going through. I was going through something a while ago, And it was like walking through a landmine. And I said, Jesus, I need you right here with me to show me how to get out of here so that I don't step on any of these landmines. And Jesus said, you stick close to me, Eric, and I will walk you through it. And so everything I did, I just stopped and I said, okay, Jesus, what do I do now? God, where do I go now? What do I need to do? Where do I need to step? Should I step here or there? And during that time, I really needed to be in that such a close intimacy with God so that I could walk right through that. And Jesus walked me through that landmine, and we may have gotten hit with a few little flying shrapnel or something, but nothing that damaged us completely because we were right with Jesus and walking right with him. And that's the way Jesus will do it with us. He will walk with us. Sometimes we want a roadmap of everywhere that we're supposed to go, but Jesus goes one step further, and he does it even better. He says, I will take you there myself. I will walk with you. I will go with you. And this is what all these verses are talking about. They're talking about God being with us, being close to us, walking with us. So God is very close. The second point is that God is very real. He is so real that, in fact, to have faith at all, we must believe that he's real. We must believe that he exists, or else our faith is pointless. Here's a passage in Hebrews 11:6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If we are going to have faith in God, we must first of all believe that he exists, simply to believe that God is there and he is real and he exists. And secondly, in that passage, it says we must also believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Throughout the Bible, it says, if we seek the Lord, we will find him. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you shall find. Passages throughout the Bible say if we reach out to God, he will be there for us. He will be found by us. He wants us to do that all the time. You may be discouraged because you say, I am seeking, I am looking, but I'm not finding God. I don't feel him. I don't sense him around me. Well, there were people in the Bible who had a similar experience. They were walking right next to Jesus, the risen Lord, after he had died and was resurrected, and they did not realize that it was even Jesus. Jesus had hid himself from them, and Jesus was speaking to them, was telling them truths, but they did not realize that it was Jesus until at one instance he broke the bread, just like he had done on the night that he was betrayed and sent to his death. And he broke the bread, and at once they realized that it was the Lord. And they said that, and at that moment he vanished. But what I'm trying to say is that he was hidden from them, and he deliberately did that, and yet he produced truth to them. He spoke to them. He talked with them. And they did not recognize that it was him, but it was very much him, and he was very much communicating with them. So you may be at a point where you feel like God's not speaking to you, he's not answering you. I believe that God is very much around you and very, very much speaking through situations, through people, through circumstances. And in one instance, all of a sudden you'll see it. And just like Paul on the road to Damascus, on that day when he saw Jesus, the risen Lord, and he looked up and he saw him, and it blinded him. It was such a glaring sight. It changed his whole life from that day forward. No longer did he have doubts about Christ anymore, but he went forth and he did exactly what God told him to do because he had seen the Lord. And many of us who believe, we have seen the Lord. We have seen that he exists. We know that he's real. And that knowledge should carry us through as we go through our life. And I know that sometimes we have doubts and things don't go the way that we want them to go. Well, you're not in bad company there either if you have those doubts. But I want to encourage you to try to overcome those doubts by increasing your faith, by continuing to pray, continuing to read, continuing to believe in your mind and believe in your heart that what God has told you is very real and that he will take care of you. Because there are people like Peter in the Bible who was with Jesus for 3 years, and he even recognized and he said, I believe you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. He recognized exactly who Jesus was. And yet, when Jesus was taken away to be crucified, Peter denied Jesus 3 times that night. And I believe it was partly because of unbelief. At that moment, he began to waver in his faith, just like when he was walking on the water, and then he started to look down at the waves, and he wavered in his faith and went down in the water. Then Jesus pulled him up and said, "Why do you have such little faith?" The same thing may have happened that night where he said, "Wow, things aren't working out the way I thought they would. Here, I thought this man was going to be king. I thought he was going to be a leader and taking over the rulers and the authorities here in Rome and in Jerusalem and in the other places of the world. And yet, he's going to be crucified. He's being beaten right now." And he had those doubts. And that caused him to say, "I don't believe you. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't even know the man." And yet, when he saw Jesus risen, when he saw Jesus come back from the dead, he knew, and he went to his own death believing, because he was so convinced that Jesus was real and what Jesus spoke was true, that he was willing to stand up in front of crowds of people, whether they were kings or soldiers or guards or commoners or lepers, whatever it was, he was willing to stand up and proclaim that Jesus was the Lord. And I think that faith, that difference between that doubt and that unbelief, and the later faith that he had, is the real core to making an inner change in our lives and having that peace, that joy, that comfort, that confidence of knowing that God is with you, God is for you, God loves you. And it will pull us out of that doubt and unbelief, and it will allow us to do the things that God has called us to do. Again, you may be very spiritual, and you may have had very spiritual experiences just like Peter, but you do come across those times when you doubt and waver. I'm not saying any condemnation for that. I'm just saying that you can be pulled up out of that, and you can call out to God and cry out to God, and he will pull your faith back up so that you can stand up in your faith. Even John the Baptist, who had recognized who Jesus was, baptized Jesus, saw the Holy Spirit come on Jesus, heard the voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son, whom I love." Even John the Baptist, when he got put in prison, sent a message to Jesus saying, "Jesus, are you the one? Are you the one that we were waiting for, or should we expect someone else?" He began to have doubts and wavered because all the circumstances were pointing against it. But I declare to you, just like Jesus did, look at what is happening. Look at the things that are going on. People are being healed. People are being set free. The dead are raised. And Jesus is working. God is very real and alive, and he can help you overcome those doubts. Look with me in Isaiah 41:10 at a passage that says how Jesus is so much with you and so much for you. In Isaiah 41:10 he says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Right there we can see a difference it makes in our life to know that he is with us. We don't have to fear. Fear is a terrible problem that many of us have, that we fear for the future. We fear for our money. We fear for our marriage. We fear for our children. We fear for a lot of things in our life. Some people have panic attacks, this sudden overwhelming fear that comes to them. And it's very difficult to overcome those fears. And yet, if God says, "Do not fear," I believe it is possible to overcome that fear, and that God can help us and bring us out of that fear and instead give us faith so that we can say, "Okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I trust you. I put my faith in you. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. This goes against everything that I'm feeling in my body and I'm seeing around me, but I am going to choose to trust in you. I'm going to choose today to serve you. I'm going to choose this moment to put my trust in you." And at that moment, that fear disappears and you are able to be free. And as long as we can continue to walk in that, we can be free from things like fear. Matthew 28:20 gives us a great promise from Jesus that is for all of us who believe in him. Jesus came back from the dead, and he came to his disciples and he gave them the Great Commission, and then he says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus said these words to his disciples, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That means always. He is always with you. He is always walking with you. I remember walking the streets of Houston one night and just walking down the street, and this was before I had put my faith in Christ, but I was just calling out to God, and I was really needing God's presence. And I said, oh, if only Jesus were right here walking beside me. And as soon as I said that, I just sensed a presence next to me, walking next to me. And I just thought, wow, if Jesus really is walking with me. And my mind just started to race through all the things that, if that were really true. And later I found out that was really true, and he really was walking right with me. And he promises that not only will he walk with you, but when we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, that he will be in us, he will walk in us, he will work through us, he will go with us everywhere we go. Even that passage in Psalm 139 that I read earlier about how Jesus is right with us. One day I was lying on a couch, and I was just lying back, and I was just saying, oh God, if you could just show me that you were real, if you could just be right here on the couch with me. And I sensed God say to me these words, open your Bible and look at the third line down. And I thought that was the weirdest thing. I thought, how can this be? How can God be speaking to me this way? And yet I did. I opened the Bible, and I opened it to Psalm 139, and I looked down, and the third line down, as I was lying there on the couch, said, you discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. When I read that, I just broke down in tears, for here I was lying down on the couch, calling out to God, God, I wish that you were right here with me. And he said, Eric, I know that you're lying down. I am right here with you. What a peace and what a presence, and that enabled me to do something that was very difficult for me to do. Both me and my wife were able to make a decision for me to do something that was incredible, and you can listen to a tape about that some other time, about the Israel story. But with that confidence and that presence of God, it made a difference in my life. I want to ask you, what kind of difference would it make in your life if you were able to believe every minute of every day that God was real, God was close to you, and God was for you? I believe it would change your attitude. I believe it would change your heart. I would believe it would change your actions. I believe it would cut out some sins in your life that you're thinking that no one's around, no one's watching, but God is very much around. In fact, I was teaching a computer class one time, and I happened to mention to someone that I was a pastor while I was teaching this class, and one of the men had been making some comments that were a little off color during the class, and as soon as I said I was a pastor, he said, oh, I had no idea you were a pastor. I'm sorry I said those things. And I turned to him and I just said, oh, doesn't matter to me. I'm not the one who's watching you every day. And everyone in the class laughed. I didn't mean it to be a joke, but it just struck me that here he was offended. He was thinking that I might be offended by what he said, and it didn't offend me. But there was someone greater than me that was there with him 24 hours a day, that the things he said and the things he did were offensive to God. And they not only were offensive to God, but they were producing a sickness and a sin in him as well that would lead to his eventual destruction. That's why God wants to get rid of sin in our life. It's because it's bad for us. It hurts us. It may seem like it's good at the time, but God says, please don't do this. Please don't do these things that you're doing, because it will only destroy you. And God is not some mean man in the sky trying to take away your fun. God is simply wanting you to live and have abundant life, and he knows that sin will destroy that and take it away. So if you need to know that God is very real, I just encourage you to call out to him and just say, God, show me your reality. Show me how close you are. And God, let me live my life in a way that realizes that and knows that and honors that. Let me serve you with my whole heart. I'm going to play another song on the piano, and I really just want you to go to God right now, maybe on your knees even, or just as you're sitting there, just to watch and just to say, God, show me the things in my life that would change, the attitudes that would change by knowing that you are real. If I could just believe 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that you are real, what kinds of things would change in my life? Would you just ask God that, and would you just think through that and see what kinds of things might change in your life? And then come back with me for a short conclusion and a little prayer that I can pray that you'll have the strength to follow up on this. as I was playing that, I was thinking, wow, if God is very real, that means he's listening to me play right now. And all of a sudden I messed up thinking the God of the universe is listening to me play. Then I realized he loves it, and he's glad to hear songs of praise and worship to him. So it enabled me to relax again and to say, okay, God, it's all right. I know that even though you're the most important audience, that you don't mind my mistakes either. I don't know what God spoke to you during your prayer time, but I'd be glad to hear about it. If you want to send me an email at pokey@theranch.org, and even if you'd just like to share or talk with someone about this or pray with someone, I'd be glad to pray with you. After the live broadcast, I'll be glad to chat with you live at the chat room at the ranch on the page that says talk to someone. Just join me in the chat room. Or you can find me during the week, usually on ICQ. That's another piece of software that you can use to locate me during the week. I do want to share with you, though, if you've never put your faith in Christ, or if you tonight would really like to put your faith in Christ in a new way, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that as we pray. And it simply involves saying, God, I believe that you exist. I believe that you are real. And I realize that that has implications on my life. And God, I can't do the things that I want to do on my own. I need some kind of power to do it. I need your Holy Spirit to fill me. And the way to do that is to make sure that you repent of your sins, turn away from those, and believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you don't have to. And then when you repent and believe in Christ, then you can receive the Holy Spirit. And receiving the Holy Spirit isn't just a one-time thing, because you can continue to say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Repenting isn't a one-time thing. You can continue to repent of your sins, because there will be still sins that you commit in your life. Putting your faith in Christ isn't just a one-time thing, even though that is that initial putting your faith in Christ that ensures your place in heaven. But we need to put our faith in Christ, our belief in Christ, every day, every moment of every day, and say, I believe that you're there. I believe that you're real. So if you want to put that faith in Christ, either for the first time or once again or for the 15th time today, I invite you to join me in this prayer. Lord, we believe that you are real. I pray for those who need to renew that faith in you today, that you would renew that you would spark that in their heart right now. As we pray. Lord, for those who've never put their faith in you, I pray they would do it right this instant. And they would say, Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I repent and turn away from those. I put my faith in Christ, who died in my place, so that I could have eternal life. Please forgive me. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit, so that I can do the things that you want me to do and that I want to do for you. Lord, for all of us who are gathered here, I pray you would increase our faith. Give us more and more faith, Lord, for you say that our faith is worth more than gold. You say that even gold perishes in the fire. When the fire consumes the earth, one day, Lord, as you've said it will, even the gold will be perished. It will not last. It will not survive the fire. But God, you say that our faith will survive that. And I pray that you would increase our faith so that we could not only survive that fire, Lord, but the daily fires that come through us, Lord. That we would be able to walk through it unscathed. That we'd be able to stand firm and stand strong. Lord, increase our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope this has increased your faith. I pray that you will continue to come close to God, that you will read his Bible every day, just continue to absorb his word, continue to pray to him, continue to call out to him, continue to seek him, and you will find him. Join me again next week for another message live from the ranch.